Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Dublin Bus has seen a major rise in antisocial behaviour, with the company reporting violence, racist threats and full assaults on their drivers. But Transport Minister Dara O'Brien has announced that recruitment for police on public transport will not begin until next year. Billy Han, CEO of Dublin Bus, is the man who is ultimately responsible for the safety of passengers and drivers. He joins us in studio. Good morning to you, Billy Han. What's your reaction to the Minister's announcement?
Good morning, Philip. Well, first of all, I'd like to strongly welcome Minister O'Brien's commitment earlier in the week to the implementation of a transport security force. Both I and the union leadership in both the NBRU and SIPTU have been advocating for a transport security force for some years now. So we welcome that very, very strongly, and it's great to see it being pushed forward by the government and the Minister.
But would it be better if he started recruitment now?
Well, look, I think what needs to be agreed at the moment is the model. Okay, so we need to sort of figure out what is the Transport Security Force going to look like? How is it going to work? The government have put together a task force, which is a multi-stakeholder task force, and includes an Garda Síochána, the Department of Justice, the Department of Transport, the NTA, bus operators, the Commuter Coalition, and a number of other stakeholders. And they've come together to, you know, examine and look at what they think good would look like when it comes to transport security force. Once that's agreed, the legislation needs to be happening in the background and put in place, and then implementation needs to happen soon.
Give me your take on it then. What is the problem and what kind of a police force would you favour to deal with it?
I'm really agnostic on the model itself. What I really want to see is a presence on our buses. We have taken the step ourselves to put private security on our buses. As recently as October 2024, we launched a pilot scheme called our Safer Journeys Team. And we've expanded that in recent times. We have six operatives on a daily basis, working 7 days a week, providing that security presence on our service to de-escalate any situations which may happen from time to time. I just want to see that expanding across the whole of the transport network, because we have evidence from An Garda Síochána that when people engage in antisocial behaviour, they don't just stop on the bus, they jump off the bus and they get on the Luas, or they get off the Luas, they get on the Dart and so on. So I would like to see a transport-wide, which is what I've always advocated for, a transport-wide solution to the security concerns around antisocial behaviour.
Should they have powers of arrest?
They should have powers of arrest and detention. And I know the Minister is quite keen for that to happen.
And that's why is that the missing piece for you now in the security teams that you've deployed? Because as you say, they can only remove people from buses. They can't stop that antisocial behaviour from spilling out into the streets and elsewhere.
It's a really good point. We can remove people from buses. The private security firms do have, under the citizen's arrest, the ability to detain, but they can't arrest. So this is a further step. If you have a transport security force, which are backed by legislation to enable them to do that, they can arrest and possibly even pursue. I know the Minister is interested, because we're not just on a one campus like the airport police, we're working across a network. He is very, very keen that they can also pursue antisocial behaviour across the whole network.
Okay. What are the advantages to having a dedicated Dublin Bus Transport Police, or are you ending up duplicating things that would not have to be done were you to just take some people from An Garda Síochána and put them on buses permanently?
I think what the Transport Security Force is doing, it's actually removing duplication. So if you look at what's happening at the moment in Inroad Éireann and on our Luas services and on Dublin Bus, we have separate companies providing those services. If you join up those services and have the one company providing those services, they're working off the one set of data. They can sort of move across the various different modes of transport and address the behaviours. As I said earlier, they don't just stick to one mode of transport. They move around these people involved in antisocial behaviour.
You have targeted Mountjoy Square as one of the hotspots for antisocial behaviour. What has that targeting succeeded in doing?
We have a number of hotspot areas, and I don't really want to go into the areas themselves because I think it's unfair in those areas, because there's lots of good people in those areas that aren't causing problems. When we have an issue in an area, we have protocols agreed with the unions that when it escalates to a particular level, we withdraw service temporarily from that area until such time we're actually satisfied that we can provide a safe service for our employees and for our customers in those particular areas. Mountjoy Square just happened to be one of those areas in recent times. We have protocols around that. We're back operating in Mountjoy Square again. We have moved the terminus slightly to address some of the concerns and issues around that. We're constantly looking at where the issues are happening, what time they're happening at, and then we focus our Safer Journeys team on those particular areas of the city.
Okay. And in terms of what is actually on buses by way of prevention and protection, are you happy that it's adequate?
I think that's a really important point. The Transport Security Force, it's not a silver bullet. It's not going to fix everything for us. And we do have a number of other initiatives already, you know, on our buses. We have 14 CCTV cameras on our buses, 3 on the outside, 11 on the inside. So that's certainly one mitigating factor. Our drivers have, you know, for protection of the drivers, are screened away from the passenger. And that, again, is to give protection to the driver. The driver also has connectivity, radio connectivity back to our central control unit, who can ring on Garda Síochána or provide assistance with a chief inspector out to the area if needed at any given time. So it's not just one area. It's a number of different mitigating, I suppose, solutions that we need to put in place to try and address the antisocial behaviour on public transport.
Can we move on to Bus Connect, please? We see that the first of the 12 bus corridors is going to start construction now. How many are still held up in the courts with judicial reviews?
There's 12 have gone for planning. They've all received planning permission. I can't remember the exact number that's held up in judicial review at the moment. The last time I looked, it was 2 or 3. However, I really welcome yesterday.
I have a figure of 6. Does that sound right?
It could be. I don't know. I know the last number, the last time I looked, a number of weeks ago, it was 2 or 3. So that could have escalated.
Half of them being held up in the courts, and that could be a 3 or 4 year additional delay to something that was first envisaged back in 2017, 2018.
And that would be a real concern for Dublin Bus. You know, we need dedicated bus corridors implemented as soon as possible. And the one that was announced yesterday, which is going to go from Liffey Valley to the CDC Centre, is very welcome from our perspective. If we want to improve the reliability and the punctuality of our bus service, we need dedicated bus corridors.
Have you a solution to this, though, that doesn't end up impinging on people's rights to go to the court if they have a grievance?
Well, look, we don't run that particular process ourselves. The National Transport Authority apply for planning permission for those.
But you are a stakeholder.
But we are a stakeholder, and we certainly would air our views. And look, you know, I'm not a legal expert when it comes to judicial reviews. But what I will say is to the NTA and to the department is that we need to engage and we need to get the issues resolved as soon as possible, because we need to be able to provide our customers with a reliable and a punctual service, which would be enabled by bus corridors.
Actually, that was the next question I was going to ask you, is paint me a picture of what public transport by bus looks like with those 12 corridors in place.
Well, in simple terms, if you look at what happens on the rail network, they have dedicated fixed lines. And interestingly enough, the punctuality on those fixed lines is far better than it would be on a bus service. And that's because we're mixing with general traffic. And what we're finding, Philip, in recent times is the variation of traffic congestion on a daily basis in a post-pandemic world is quite significant. And that's because of remote working. So if we have dedicated bus corridors where we're not being impacted by traffic congestion and the variability of that traffic congestion, we can provide a much more punctual service than we're providing at the moment. And that would be a utopia for me as CEO of Dublin Bus.
Okay, but you're a long way from achieving that now, with the first of them only beginning at this point in time.
We are, but it's important to recognise that Bus Connect is not just about bus corridors. It's also about a new network redesign, which we're 6 phases into already. We'll hopefully be implementing a 7th phase later this year. And in simple terms, Bus Connect is trying to connect more people to more places. We have record numbers of passengers travelling on public transport on Dublin Bus last year, 159 million passengers. So the Bus Connect programme in its totality is working. It's connecting more people to more places more frequently. The bus corridors will be another enabler to improve that even further.
And that next phase of the network, will that see the last of the bus numbers that would have been familiar to passengers disappear to be replaced by something starting with a letter?
No, we've about another 6 phases to go, interestingly enough, over the next number of years. So we've implemented 6, and there's 12 in total phases of network redesign, in addition to the 12 corridors which you're talking about earlier. So you've still a number of years of changes to bus corridors and redesign of the network.
Did you ever consider that there was an affection and a familiarity to an awful lot of those numbers, and that you might risk throwing the baby out with the bathwater in making these changes?
Yeah, I think people resist change, generally speaking, you know, and particularly when there's a nostalgia around it, whether it's the 46A or whatever particular route it is that's being affected.
You're pandering to RTE people with that.
but look, in reality, we need to look at the greater good, and we need to implement the changes that's going to connect more people to more places, and that's what we're doing.
Talk to me about ghost buses and how big a problem it still is, and what, because I know that this is not necessarily something that is in your gift or your control as the CEO of Dublin Bus, because there are other operators here as well. What does it do, though, to undermine faith in public transport if a scheduled bus that's there on the timetable, there on the phone, never appears at the bus stop?
Philip, it's a really good question. And you talk about undermining faith. My first week to 12 days in the job as CEO in December 2022, I was called into an Oireachtas committee meeting because of service concerns and ghost bus issues at that particular time. The good news is, the problem around that time was we had a significant lack of drivers in the system, and we couldn't keep up with the expansion and the expansion of demand for bus services at that particular time. And then we had bus connects coming in on top of that. We've addressed the driver recruitment issues, so we're now very, very healthy when it comes to the numbers of bus drivers we have. We did also have system problems around our real-time passenger information, our apps around that time, which have all been resolved. So thankfully, I'm not going to sit here and say we won't have ghost buses. There's a myriad of reasons why you can have ghost buses, but those associated with driver reliability and system failures have significantly decreased the reliability of our system. We're running reliability over 98% at the moment, which is above our contractual requirements in the NTA, and our punctuality is also running at NTA contractual requirements. So I'm not going to say ghost buses are gone, because it can be impacted by many different things, but they are much more reliable than they were before.
So you can implement quick tech fixes. Tell me why it is then that we're not able to tap and pay on buses. We still have to go and buy leap cards.
Yeah, just so there's no confusion, those fixes that were put into the, we call it an automatic vehicle location system, which feeds the RTPI, they were patches on a 15-year-old system. That system needs to be replaced. And the NTA, the National Transport, they have a contract to replace that system. In addition to that particular system, they are replacing the contactless payment system to allow you to pay with your phone.
Oh, OK. So what's the timetable on that then?
We're talking about 2 years. That's a National Transport Authority project. They've signed contracts, and now it's all about implementation. Now, it's important to recognise it is a complex project. It's about refitting all of our modes of transport, whether that be DART, Lewis commuter trains, buses and so on across the whole of the country. Okay. It's about...
So the delay is in making sure that we're going to be able to use them on bus and rail, and it's not just something that's in Dublin Buses Gift.
No, it's across the whole network. So we'll have to replace all the systems across the whole network and keep the existing system going at the same time. So there's a period of time that it'll take for that to be implemented. But you're looking at approximately 2 years' time before you see the first contactless payment on the public transport system.
Billy Han, CEO of Dublin Bus, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.